the only one that remembers the Beatles.
Hello, I'm Guy Garvey. Richard Curtis and Danny Boyle have joined forces for Yesterday. We got them together to talk filmmaking.
I always saw Trainspotting just as the Northern Four Weddings.
Music.
These songs were part of us.
And a world without the Beatles.
A world without the Beatles would be infinitely worse.
The Yesterday podcast, available from wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday.
When did you write that?
I didn't write it. Paul McCartney wrote it. The Beatles.
Who?
Initiate Orphans Trailer.
Welcome to The Orphans.
It's Baz Gilroy. Baz Gilroy. Gilroy. Baz Gilroy.
Hello. I am Geometrically Fabricated and Functional Reasoning Unit, but you can call me Jeffrey.
Do you know what they're going to do to me?
That's what I am to them out there. Just a spill on the floor that needs wiping up, aren't I?
But I will not stay here and witness your stupidity.
You do nothing but pretend. You don't care about me.
Get up. He's going to find us if we don't move.
The Orphans.
The Orphans.
The Orphans.
The Orphans. Facility. Out now.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Everybody, welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 168, and I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Star. With me is the hard man with hard opinions, AFLM.
Oh, hello.
And our security guy, Greg.
I didn't think you were actually recording, to be honest, that conversation.
That entire conversation is recorded. And in the same room as us, our King Baby Duck Evan.
Kind of Ichiro, my bashes and wenches. And you do have a very nice office space,
well, thank
John
you.
Star. Yeah. I mean, I love how you have Waddles right there from Gravity Falls. You got Gurr from Invader Zim. You've got the Luchador Buzz Lightyear I see, too.
Nope, that's just the Luchador that I got at a Yankee Swap one Christmas.
It's Luchador Buzz Lightyear, everybody.
That does make it a little bit better. So, this episode, we have a lot to talk about. A lot of things that we saw and a lot of things that we're looking forward to seeing. We're actually going to
That's right. I don't even know what I'm looking forward to seeing because I didn't even check it out.
Right. So, we are focusing today, as our Tapagotchi, a preview for you all of the new summer season of anime, which should be starting up by the time that you're listening to this. But this is our preview. And then the next episode, as per usual, is going to be our thoughts on the shows that we saw.
Oh, right. So, happy birthday, America.
Yeah.
And I would have been at Anime Expo, and I might have met up with Gerardo.
That's right. You are going to have gone and come back.
Yes.
By the time that this episode is released. Right?
Hopefully. Who knows? I could be murdered at this place.
That's true.
There's like 100,000 people out there. I might be the one that gets crushed to death in my life.
And you're in L.A.
Yes, that as well.
Yeah.
But I'm in a good part of L.A. This is the
There's
same...
There's no out. Such thing.
I've been to the part of L.A. that I'll be at is the same part of L.A. I was at for E3, and it's a good part of L.A. There's only like one crazy homeless person who screams at obscenities at you.
I'm sorry, but to convince me that anywhere in California is good, it has to be some pretty good convincing.
You've clearly never been on Hollywood Boulevard then, because you see some of the nicest, craziest people there.
Hey, look, it's Crystal Meth Elmo.
Actually, you're not far off. I remember seeing a guy who was hopped up on meth, I think.
Dressed up as Elmo.
Yeah, he was. It was like a bad Elmo, but...
Actually, his head was just on a pike.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap what?
Mommy Sakai starts.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
So we're going to be talking about that later on. Let's first start off, though, by ringing our news bell. Get the box.
Ding, ding, ding. I'll actually
open her up.
Yeah.
Freezing. So, Everybody have
a Oh, hey, everybody. It looks like we're getting a second season this October of We Never Learn.
So that's, really? That was cool. Fast.
Yeah.
Well, it must have been popular.
It was
very popular. We never learn that we want things that are better than just cute anime girls.
And isekais.
And isekais.
Well, this was the show that I felt did it much better than fucking friggin' Quintessential Quintuplets, that's for sure.
Yeah, I only watched like two episodes of that show, and I was like, all right, whatever.
I unfortunately watched the whole thing, and I just saw the quality of it just drop lower and lower. And how much lower can it go? Oh, it went lower. And here's the thing, like Anime News Network did this whole piece of, like, should you watch We Never Learn? And they were bashing We Never Learn, but they were, like, throwing praise at Quintessential Quintuplets. And I'm like, are you fucking stupid?
Who, Anime News Network?
Yeah.
Oh, the answer is yes.
Although, okay. I do agree with them sometimes, though. This was the part where I'm like, this anime version of We Never Learn was actually better than the manga adaptation. Because, like, I'm reading the manga review for Viz Media, like, from Viz Media, and, like, the flaws that are in the manga version are, like, non-existent in the anime version. Like, the way that stories are being told, the more things are, like, condensed that should be condensed instead of being dragged out. The anime version of We Never Learn is, in my opinion, much better than the manga version.
Very nice.
And because of AFLM, I can now no longer unsee one of his, like, big issues with the drawing style.
Oh, yeah.
I'm reading volume 4 right now, and, like, what the fuck is this?
I know. They drew that scene better in the anime. But
it's like, that does not look like that.
Okay, so we're talking about the toes, I imagine. The feet?
Yeah.
The drawing?
Well, that's why, because last episode I said, well, the artist clearly doesn't know how to draw feet.
Yeah. Those toes look like fingers.
Yeah.
They look like baby fingers.
Yeah. And I have it up here because I was reading this for review on my way up here to Braintree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg is, like, hypnotized.
They are just, like, all big toes. There's no... Well, there's, like, a pinky toe, and then they're all just big toes.
It's really funny, because, like, as an artist...
They're more like thumbs.
Me.
Yeah.
Drawing feet really isn't that difficult. Everybody has... I actually have a lot more trouble drawing hands correctly than I have drawing feet correctly.
Same.
And that just comes with practice, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I would think that, like, when you're at that level of art, actually, I really shouldn't be saying this because I still do a, like, really crappy hand sometimes. So, like, this isn't really, like, people are going to read my comic and be like, oh, he doesn't really know how to draw hands all that well. I was like, oh, I will eventually. So it's fine.
Are they going to be behind rocks and clouds like Rob Liefeld?
Yeah. Everybody is casting a magic spell all the time. And I'm just doing, like, magic effects because it is a fantasy. So it's just like, but it's not that high magic. So doesn't really matter.
It's not that high
magic. You know what actually really helps with drawing hands? And this probably goes a lot with...
trace it like this when you make a turkey.
No.
Making turkeys. Everything's turkeys.
Kota Hiro...
Hirono.
Yeah, Kota Hirono, the artist Helsing. Of Helsing.
And Drifters.
He drew everybody in gloves. Everybody's always wearing gloves.
That's true.
And when you draw a character wearing gloves... It doesn't look as funny when you don't draw the hands correctly because it's not skin to skin. They're actually wearing material, and you can draw bulky material, which kind of extends like the, oh, they're wearing gloves. It does. Yep. It looks weird because they're wearing gloves.
Completely true.
Yeah. Walt Disney must have been shit at drawing hands then.
yeah, kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it is pretty funny that when you're reading different artists, it's funny because you can tell their strengths, their weaknesses, their likes, their dislikes, their fetishes, their sexual preferences.
Yeah.
Over hands?
Anything. Absolutely. No, over anything. Like, literally, I mean, if you, like, it's just an artist thing. Like, artists are literally, it's like we say in the My Wife Who's Not Weird panel. Art is the sex of the imagination.
No, okay.
It's why I always got such a huge laugh while watching the horrible anime My Sister, My Writer, because you could clearly see, like, when they drew characters' feet. That was, like, the only good part of the animation.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the same thing with Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs.
Yes.
So, like, usually they
that type of comedy, like Monster Musume. Mm-hmm. Monster Musume is very much a boob anime. Like, the artist is very much like, oh, I'm boob crazy.
Yeah.
In Yuna, he's very legs and feet crazy. He thinks that's the sexiest part of a woman. Because he draws bare legs and bare feet, like, all the time throughout the thing. Well, and all the sexy shots are always, like, including legs and feet.
Right.
And,
you know, I'm a leg guy, so I
Me too. Like, and it's like, so I was like, I'll take this. Like, that's great. And
this is my thing. Cool.
And then yaoi artists are hands. Yeah, yeah. Every single one of them ever.
Like, back to your earlier point, I honestly thought you could tell everyone's like fetishes by just how they draw the hands. That's why I was confused.
That's where the confusion is.
Yeah.
For example, that
no, it's the subject matter that they like.
For example, the frame that Evan showed us, like, you could very clearly see that was strictly, like, even though the feet
he's
were
not
drawn,
into that.
The feet were drawn terribly, but like, he's totally into feet.
Yeah,
I would say he's totally in the field.
I don't know. He doesn't because
it looks more like I have to draw this part.
But that's what I mean. Because exactly. Because he draws like
he draws the boobs good.
This character is in the swim club, but he draws her like Rob Liefeld. Like, you never see her lower half. Like, because he's
diving off the block with like using triangles.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I do think that's funny. I love art. I love analyzing art, and I love being an artist and being like in the mindset of a different artist, and you just know everything about them.
And that's the other thing I like about art too. Last thing on this, I would say is that I didn't even realize that foot was so janky in that, even though it's the biggest part of the scene, I didn't even notice it until Evan, you pointed it out.
Oh, yeah. No, I noticed. Oh, yeah. I watched that scene in the anime, and I was like, oh, they drew it better.
Yeah. Of course you did, but I didn't, because as a whole, the picture works. Like,
yeah,
the picture,
exactly.
it's a very well-balanced picture, so it's like, oh, well, it all works together, but it's just like, if you analyze the art, and look at the art, then you realize that foot is weird.
Yeah,
he draws on the foot.
Yeah, it's, what's it called? The, like, web-toed one.
Yeah.
Everyone's got web toes in that manga.
Yeah.
You know, that thumb foot reminds me of the thumb characters from Spy Kids.
Oh my god.
If you remember. That gave me nightmares.
So we got off on this tangent by saying that a second season of We Never Learn is coming out, which I still gotta catch up on We Never Learn, because it goes past the manga, which I'm like,
currently
over the moon about, because I love We Never Learn, and I've already caught up with the manga. I have to wait 2 months till the next volume comes out.
Yeah.
And so I'd rather watch the anime and find out more. But that also sucks, because when you're somebody like me and you collect the manga, it means that you've already read, or you've already watched what you're about to read.
Yeah, but so, like I said, I feel like they did a much better job in the anime than they did in the manga. I felt like the story aspect, some of like the more comedic elements are timed a lot better in the anime than the manga, because I felt like they stretched it a little bit too long in the manga in some places.
Yeah, and I'd say that's fair, but I'm kind of a yes and no kind of on that kind of thing, because I like the manga. Like,
I really
enjoy reading it.
I enjoy reading it too, but for some reason when I watch the anime version, I'm like, okay, they did this part a little bit better.
Right.
They took out any of this unnecessary bullshit aspect of it. It flows better for me.
Yeah, sounds good.
So yes, this October, season 2 of We Never Learn.
I look forward to it, because
I too
love We Never Learn.
I do too. That might be the anime that Aniplex finally gets my money on. Although I did say that about Blend S, but they never made a dub for Blend S, so I'm like, I'm not paying $120 without a dub or
$600 for the same thing I can watch on Crunchyroll for free? No thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. So anyway, Attack on Titan season 4 has officially been announced, and it will be the final season.
Oh, cool! Because isn't the manga over?
Like, almost.
Almost. So I actually fell off of Attack on Titan 3 because when I quit my job and became an independent artist, I stopped watching anime altogether for like months, and which is too bad, because I just don't have time for anime anymore, because I could watch something while I'm drawing, but I can't watch anime because I have to read the subtitles and I have to draw. So it doesn't make any sense for me to watch anime while I draw, and Attack on Titan is one of those anime where it's like, oh, I really want to see this, but there's so many other shows coming out. And
I will say, like, the issues I had with season 2 of Attack on Titan are gone in season 3.
Yeah, I love season 3. It was great.
Season 3, like, currently right now, because I'm watching the Toonami version, because it's one of those rare things where like, I watched a sub version of Attack on Titan and I enjoyed it, but I'm enjoying the dub a lot more because I feel like they're, especially with the voice cast that they have on Attack on Titan, I feel like they put so much more emotion in the English version than the Japanese version.
Yes and no. I would agree, but I watch it in Japanese just because it's what I prefer.
Right.
And
it's everyone's preference.
Yeah, and you know, Attack on Titan, Attack on Titan. It's good. I like it.
Yeah, I never watched season 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. I like it. And and that's what I hate your fans, but you know, it's good.
But season 4, the final season, will be premiering in fall of 2020. So it won't be too long of a wait.
Okay.
Like, there's no more, oh, we gotta wait 3 years for this.
Yeah, oh man, you're right. I forgot about that. I forgot that there was such a long wait.
Well, what was it? 2013 was season 1, and then season 2 was 2017. But people forget that we did get another season of Attack on Titan in 2015, just junior high version.
I love that one.
Me too.
I have that on DVD. I found that on sale, and I was like, "Why would I not buy this?" Like,
this was it was funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. And everybody's like, "We didn't ask for this." I was like, "I don't care. It's funny. It's great."
So Mamoru Oshii, the director of Ghost in the Shell, is coming back to anime. Mm-hmm. Just announced a brand new show called Vlad Love Vampire. It's a girls meets girl comedy anime show that will have Oshii as the chief director and Junji Nishimura, who directed Ranma 1/2, as the director. And this will be Nishimura's first anime he's directed, I believe, in almost three decades.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, three decades.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no. Okay, so maybe I'm reading this wrong. Oshii's first series in three decades. Oshii has directed,
He's never
done a TV series in a very long time.
Right, yeah, yeah. Interesting.
So
what is it? What does that mean, a girl meet girl vampire? Is it
a Yuri show?
Yeah, is it a Yuri vampire show?
A Yuri vampire show with the spirit of an 80s slapstick comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, so like What We Do in the Shadows?
I would love a Yuri What We Do in the Shadows. It sounds more like what... Like, so, I remember, what was it, last fall, there was that show, Miss Vampire Who Lives in Your Neighborhood?
Yes, yeah.
But that was more like Kinyero Mosaic.
Yes.
Than what?
And it was boring. It wasn't as good as Kinyero Mosaic.
Well, Kinyero Mosaic was great, but, like, I did enjoy Miss Vampire at some, from some aspects, but it wasn't as strong as Kinyero. But they're saying that Oshii and all the people that are working on it right now, they're trying to get that sort of Ranma 1/2 and Urusei Yatsura sort of vibe from this anime.
Mm.
Currently, it's going to have 12 episodes. It'll be premiering in spring 2020. And it looks pretty good. Like, I'm happy that Oshii is actually legit going back to doing anime and not that weird-ass live-action stuff he's been doing the past few years.
Maybe he got bored. He's like, I want to be frustrated and do animation.
Maybe. But yeah, I'm very excited. I'm hoping it turns out to be a very good show. So next up on the list, there's another kind of interesting anime that came up in my rainy dark called Interspecies Reviewers.
Oh my gosh.
I've seen that.
No, I know.
Greg has seen this.
I'm totally familiar, because it gets advertised to me from Right Stuff all the time. And I was like, why am I getting this? Like,
I did not ask for this.
Yeah, and so I read the
preview.
I read the first chapter, and I was thumbing through it, and it's a manga that's literally about like people writing reviews, or humans writing reviews on what it's like to have sex with this creature of a different species. And
yes.
I was like, why do we need this? It's because of monster girl fetish and
right
and all that stuff, but it's weird because it's like prostitution, and it's just like, what? I don't know.
It is.
But the thing that really, really is interesting about this is, like, who is actually working on this? So we have Yuki Ogawa, who unfortunately directed Fully Coolly Progressive.
And Miru Tights.
And Miru Tights.
Wow.
that's quite the... This is a perfect series.
The Tights one makes more sense for this kind of series than progressive.
Well, I don't know. He likes to direct trash, so...
Right. But here's the thing. The person who's writing it, their name is Kazuyuki Furuyashi, and they have written That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime and Girls Last Tour.
Okay.
So, pretty good writer, except for the fact that the second one they mention is that shitty Dropkick on My Devil.
Oh, man. Yeah, that sucked.
So I'm hoping that it's more like Time, more like Slime or Girls Last Tour. I want quality like that.
All right, let's be real, though. This is an interspecies reviewer thing. You really are hoping for Slime and Girls Last Tour out of this?
But look, we...
Especially Girls Last Tour.
Girls Last Tour. Look, listen, we did not expect Monster Musume to be as brilliant as it was.
Yeah, but the funny part about that was there wasn't any actual sex. Like, this is about, like, I banged this girl and this is how it was. And I don't like that kind of stuff.
A cowgirl or
kind of stuff. Yeah. It just disturbs me.
I'm pretty sure, especially the one in the blue bikini the one on the right.
Yeah.
Do you still have the photo?
No, I just deleted it.
The cowgirl.
Cowgirl.
Yeah, the one on the right
the boobs that are half the size of Greg's head.
Yeah, they're like bigger than my torso, bro.
Yeah, bigger than her torso. Yeah.
I know, right? She looks like she's only 12, so that's my first.
Yeah, first and foremost, you're correct about that.
Mm-hmm. Second one, bikini's way too small, obviously. And third, her back problems are going to be awful.
Yeah.
Well, no, probably because she always just leans forward like a beanbag chair.
That's brilliant. I've never thought of that. Is that how it's like she gets around too? Is like on those bouncy balls, she probably uses them as like a bounce.
Oh, like the South Park episode where everyone fries their testicles and now they bounce all over the place.
So she does the same thing. She just goes boing, 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 boing down the street.
Like, another issue that I have is the cat girl character.
Yeah,
is one of those cat girls that has fur on their legs and feet and hands and arms. Mm-hmm. I hate those guys.
Normal feet.
No, they have to have regular, like, no fur.
It's 50% fur.
Yeah, it's tail and ears. That's a good cat girl. Everything else is human about them.
Yes.
Like, that's a good cat girl.
That is a perfect cat
girl. No hair on the extremities. The only one I accept is Felicia from Darkstalkers, because it's Darkstalkers, it's Capcom, it's fine.
Yeah.
But
that one's scary, though, because she's got, like, the really big hands, really big feet.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's just different all around, but it's just annoying. It's just a tease when you have fur on, like, things that
it's like. That's half animal. Yeah. I'm not interested in half animal.
Let's see. So the final part of, like, anime-based news, we've got the two-part anime film for Sailor Moon Eternal finally getting a release date of 2020. And the thing I like about this aspect is that they actually got the original character designer from the Sailor Moon anime from the 90s to design it. This is how I feel like the anime should have been with Crystal.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. So what part of the Sailor Moon series is Eternal going to be showing us?
This is the Pegasus arc, I believe.
I don't know what that means.
So season 4, Super S.
Okay, all right, okay.
Super S.
That I understand, actually. So... Okay.
So,
a lot of people didn't like that season, though.
That's interesting, though, that it's only two movies.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of a full series.
Yeah,
right.
Because everybody hated that series.
Yeah, everyone hated Crystal.
I suppose that's true, so it was like, let's get through it as
No, not Crystal. I'm talking about season 4 of Sailor Moon.
Oh, right.
Like, a lot of people didn't like... Like, they liked it up until... Like, Chibi Sailor Moon showed up, and then they were like, well, I don't really enjoy this anymore, because now they're... contradicting a lot of stuff that happened earlier in Sailor Moon. So, I don't know.
Alright. I still say that Sailor Moon S is my favorite series of Sailor Moon. Super S was okay. Stars... I liked Stars. I was glad I was able to see it. But it wasn't the thing I was hoping it would be after hearing, you know, 20 years of hearing what Sailor Stars would have been.
Mm.
But anyways...
My favorite was the American Sailor Moon.
I liked it when they all died. Like, that was crazy. That was nuts. Like, we were like, oh my gosh. Like, what? Whoa. Mm-hmm. But that was only in the Japanese version. They didn't do that in America.
Well, now it's in the American version.
Now it's in the American version, yes.
Yeah. All right. How about we go into the West?
Wow, that was fast.
Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans has officially been announced.
Has it?
Yeah, it's unfortunately going to be a direct-to-DVD film, but we'll have It will have the original Teen Titans interacting with the Teen Titans Go characters. And Weird Al Yankovic has been cast as both Gentleman Ghost and Darkseid.
Awesome.
Huh.
So, the way I feel about that is, I think this movie is literally just going to be funding, or try to fund a new Teen Titans.
Yeah. If people are interested in buying this, then we will bring the original Teen Titans series back, sort of thing.
Yes.
That was the... We've talked about this on the show a million times anyway. That was the conspiracy behind Teen Titans Go to begin with.
Yeah.
Is that they tried to make it super incredibly popular, which it is.
Yeah.
So that they
It's all Cartoon Network.
Yeah, so that they can fund
And you know what? There's a brilliant idea behind this, too. Because if they had just released a original Teen Titans series movie and the numbers weren't as high, then Warner Brothers would have been like, the numbers aren't high enough, we're not going to fund it. But now that they did Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go, now they have all of the Teen Titans Go crowd and all of the original Teen Titans crowd buying this and say, look how high our numbers are, WB. They want original Teen Titans.
I would argue, though, that that already happened when they made Teen Titans in Tokyo.
Trouble in Tokyo.
No, I don't think so, because that happened before the series ended.
It happened. No, that was that served as kind of the finale for the Teen Titans series.
Oh, you're right. It did happen afterwards.
Yeah.
All right. I retract that statement. But even still, though, I don't think so. I think that that movie was planned to begin with because it's like, well, it's a Teen Titans movie. Like, it's a DC property. We need to make a movie of it, sort of thing.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be their fighting chance to get the original Teen Titans series back, and I hope that it does because
yeah, I'll tell you something. If it winds up being one of those Warner streaming site things, exclusive things, I will get a subscription
that. Yeah. I'll just steal it. Because no thanks, I can't afford that.
All right. So another Into the West thing, and I didn't write it in here, but it was something that I sent over to your wife about them doing a new Scooby-Doo series in the style of the old, like...
Hanna-Barbera,
but with celebrities.
Like...
Weird Al Yankovic, of course, shows up in one episode. Jaleel White reprises his role as Urkel in an episode.
That is incredible. So they're bringing back...
Scooby-Doo Goes to the Movies.
No, it wasn't Scooby-Doo Goes to the Movies. It was just called... It was something else. The Scooby-Doo Show. That's what it was called. The series was called The Scooby-Doo Show.
And that's where they had, like, Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin, Sherlock Holmes.
Laurel and Hardy. Yeah.
It's called Scooby-Doo and Guess Who is the name of the series. So, nice. Jaleel White to reprise roles as Steve Urkel for upcoming Scooby-Doo and Guess Who. And it actually looks really good. Like...
Yeah, that looks classic. Look at that.
That looks pretty good. I enjoy it.
Classic with a fresh coat of paint is what I like to say.
Yeah, because Urkel looks like modern, and nobody ever made those kinds of expressions in the original Hanna-Barbera cartoons, except for maybe Shaggy when it was like, wow, you know, those noises that they would make.
And of course, the best episode of Scooby-Doo ever, the Johnny Bravo episode.
Yes! My glasses. I can't be seen without my glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Jinkies.
Isn't that breakfast cereal or something?
I want to know what Johnny Bravo would look like without glasses now.
You never saw. He
I know. That's the mystery of it. That's the beauty.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they're going to be doing Scooby-Doo and Guess Who? It's going to be on Boomerang.
Means that VRV might get it.
No, VRV has everything Boomerang.
Everything? Like, absolutely everything?
Just about everything. Because
Teen Titans went to Boomerang, and they don't have Teen Titans on there, so...
I still think that's a WB property, though. That one's a little different. That one's a different set of waters.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that they're doing a 50th anniversary release of Scooby-Doo.
That's what initially I sent over to your wife. Now that I think of it, they're doing like the whole 50th anniversary complete series of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?
Wow.
And it comes in a haunted house.
And how many discs is it? Because how many episodes did they make?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you that.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good... anniversary, birthday, Christmas gift. Whenever it comes out.
I'm sorry, gift.
Yeah. Christmas, Kwanahanza, whatever you want to call it. What was the fake Well, not the fake holiday. What was the holiday on the OC that when they combined Christmas and Hanukkah? Chrismica?
The OC?
Remember that show on Fox? It was like
I remember, but I didn't watch it.
I never watched it either, but I remember people were talking about, oh, did you watch the Chrismicana episode?
Chrismahanukkah. I remember Snowflake Day from...
Yeah, happy Snowflake Day.
From Clone High. Yeah. And I enjoy my fish tacos by the fire.
Happy Snowflake Day.
So the final piece of news that I have, and it's not cartoon related, but whenever I talk about the anime Konosuba, the very first show that comes to mind when I think of the humor aspect is this British sitcom called Blackadder.
Blackadder, yes.
Blackadder. And they just announced that the Blackadder stars are meeting up and mm-hmm. they might be doing a fifth season after almost 30 years.
That's a ridiculous amount of cool people.
Yeah.
For that. Rowan Atkinson, Tony Robinson,
Stephen Fry, and Hugh Laurie.
Jeez. Yeah, right? Like
that's nuts.
This is an amazing cast of people.
I'm pretty sure the war is over by now, right?
Well, here's the thing. So I never even realized this until I read this article, but the whole point of Blackadder was the youth criticizing the old people for being morons and idiots. Now, with them now being old, they have to now realize, oh, now we're the legit idiots now. Huh. Because this one will have Blackadder as a university lecturer. And now he's a teacher.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Would Baldrick be a janitor? That's my question.
Or, I couldn't tell you.
Okay, would Baldrick be... he has to be a professor, but it has to be a professor of something ridiculously stupid. But yeah, like you said, this is a great cast. Imagine if they were able to get this done. Because it's still in talks.
Yeah, by the way, for those of you who don't know, Blackadder is actually all on Netflix now. So mm-hmm.
Is it really?
Yep, it's on Netflix.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. Holy crap.
Watch Blackadder on Netflix.
I will say
I think I knew that.
I will say it has my favorite interpretation of A Christmas Carol because it happens all in reverse. Because he starts out as a nice guy and then he turns into a shitbag after he visits his past selves.
That's great.
But yeah, I'm stoked. I hope it happens. I hope they actually film it. And they also just announced too, they're doing, I think it's the 12th season of Red Dwarf as well.
Wow. I never thought I would hear that name again.
Yeah.
Everybody on the Nerdy Show is going to be freaking out.
Oh, I think that's where I learned that about it. On the Nerdy Show Network, a little thread there. But yeah, and what has impressed me about Red Dwarf is, you know, they recently had two other seasons after so long, and it's still funny as hell.
Mm.
And the characters, despite them being now in, like, their 50s, they still look like they're in their
20s. It's crazy. Well, speaking of Into the West, mm-hmm. do we want to review Toy Story?
Yeah.
Okay, go right ahead.
So, 75% of us saw Toy Story 4, and to very extreme mixed reviews, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I'll start by saying that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Toy Story 4. It's definitely a beautiful Pixar film. I am going to say this, though. It is not a kids' movie, in the least.
All right, explain.
I there were some adult themes in there, but I think it still passes as a kids' movie.
Some, well, sure, a kid will enjoy the movie no matter what, but some adult themes, like, just think of the villain. Like, what kid is gonna be able to relate to the
Gabby Gabby doll?
Yeah.
Well, who knows? No, they won't. I don't. Yeah, maybe they can't. I don't know.
Not to mention being horrified by the ventriloquist dummy hitmen.
Bodyguards. But yeah, they were...
So, I was in a 6 o'clock show on AMC's, like, $5, $6 Tuesday now.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there were kids in the theater. And when they first showed the ventriloquist doll, I didn't hear any kids, like, screaming bloody murder, like, in... Like being horrified by it, so I don't know if it would scare kids that much nowadays because I feel like
I heard a lot of parents nervously laughing about it, trying to like not freak their
kids out. Yeah, because we saw a 10:30 a.m. on Friday show, and and it was just filled with kids. We were the only ones in there who went without
children. Yeah, we weren't accompanied with
children.
Which, and it makes you feel weird, but like you're a child of the 90s, and that's when it came out, and it's like
Toy Story was made for us.
Right,
like,
it was.
And I think that this one was also made for us.
And that's where I disagree with you, because Toy Story 3 was made for us, and then this one was crap.
Well, sure.
And then...
No.
Yeah, it was.
No.
Because here's why it was crap. I mean, besides the fact that they regressed Buzz as a character. Buzz regressed.
Oh. No, they regressed more than Buzz.
Yeah.
They regressed. Everybody took a back seat.
But so everybody took a back seat, but they regressed Buzz the most because he's supposed to be a main character, and he was no longer a main character. He was just like a side funny.
And he was an idiot.
And he was dumb. And then, which he's not dumb. He totally, by Toy Story 2, he wasn't dumb.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. And then not only that, but we're supposed to care about this little girl the same way we care about Andy, and Toy Story 3 traumatized us.
Yeah,
we were after we watched Toy Story 3, we were all crying. We were so sad that Andy gave his toys away and to this little girl. The end. That's the end of Toy Story.
Like, that's what it should have been.
Yeah, there's no more Toy Story. We were all sad, and then they were like, "Remember that emotion we got out of our audience for Toy Story 3? Let's do it again." And then they didn't, because it was just like, okay, I don't relate to any of these characters anymore, because not only did they change their personalities, but they changed their motivations, and now just to get the end result that we want.
I would say that probably since they made the film Up, they've been trying to do the, let's make a family film, but we're going to make them cry.
Yeah.
Like, dry heave crying at the end. Every fucking Pixar movie since then.
And so, like, Evan, you haven't seen it yet, right?
Right.
And
I'm already picturing it in my brain. Like, just them trying too hard.
Because the reason why I hated it was the ending, and it was the journey up to the ending, but it also, majority of it had to do with the ending, because it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The ending made zero sense, and it was, everybody was like, oh, it's so sad. It's like, no, it's not. It's just dumb. And then,
maybe that's what Tim Allen meant when he read the script and was like, that's it.
And I'm crying. Yeah. And then, he probably did the same way, like, Mark Hamill did about Luke, where he, like, danced around the fact of, like, I hated this movie. and then there was Forky, which the whole movie is advertised about Forky, this new character. And he's just a plot device. He has no personality. He has no story arc. And he's literally just a plot device.
He had a little bit of a story arc.
He had no story arc.
See, I don't...
What was his story arc?
He got created, and he was trying to find himself in the world.
And he found it once they made it to the antique store, and then he was a plot device. That was that wasn't even 25% through the movie. So
that might be a fair point.
So I don't mind Forky being a plot device. I don't mind that.
Because
it was Woody's journey. I do mind, however, that the movie was solely... It was Woody's movie. Nobody else's.
Yeah. But which is what they did with Toy Story 2. So why would they try to make it another Woody movie?
Right. Well, but that's what I'm trying to say is... No character should be a plot device. They should be a character. Because Forky was hilarious. That was Forky's role in the movie, was to be absolutely hilarious, and he was.
Yep.
This movie was really funny. It wasn't written well. It was just funny.
And just on the point of Toy Story 2, it was a Woody movie. I will agree with you there. But there was a very distinct well balance between all of the characters. There was Woody's timeline.
Yeah. Yes.
That of him meeting Jesse.
A story, B story.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then there was the rest of the toys, led by Buzz.
Yeah.
Who, you know, and all the, like, Mr. Potato Head, I think he spoke once in the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
We met the Colonel, Bullseye, Jesse, we met all those characters, and we cared about them. We loved them in Toy Story 2.
Cried over Jesse's backstory.
And then in this one, we meet Key and Peele, and then we meet Keanu Reeves, and then... I don't give a shit about these characters. They
except for Keanu Reeves.
They were funny,
and,
though.
And that's great. Yeah, they were funny. They were plot devices because they were funny. Mm-hmm. They weren't characters. Because at the end of the movie, nothing happens.
Yeah. Have you guys...
Go away! And it's just... What is
Piss
this?
Off!
What
we have your money!
What is this movie? Like, nothing happens!
Well, think about it for a second. So the first three movies were about Andy and his journey, right? And then
right.
at the end of the third movie, you see that they're transitioning to a new child, Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were continuing the transition story with this movie and did now Bonnie's journey and how maybe they're going for a new set of characters and that's why they're kind of deviating from our main cast.
Over three movies.
No, but I'm saying like, yeah.
I think what Andrew's trying to say is they tried to do in doing one movie what three movies did previously.
And not only that, but I can't spoil the ending of the movie.
Oh, yes you can.
I'm going on Wikipedia right now just to see.
By the time this episode comes out, like, the movie will have...
Okay, skip 5 minutes ahead if you don't want the Toy Story 4 spoiled for you.
I don't
want
to spoil for Evan, though.
I have the Wikipedia up right Ooh. Now.
Yeah, you spoiled it. So,
I'm spoiling it for myself.
Okay, here's spoiler warning. Woody leaves Bonnie. After one movie, why do we care? And that's another thing too, is how come it would never happen, Woody would not leave Buzz. That is just absurd. Like, it's an absurd plot move that it would be like, okay, good job, buddy. I'm glad you found happiness. See you later.
Yep.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
They hugged once and then like,
yeah, and then and
never
so, and,
again
and,
seeing
but,
each other.
But how are we supposed to care that Woody is leaving Bonnie?
He becomes a lost toy.
Yeah, but we don't care that Woody is leaving Bonnie when Bonnie one doesn't even care about Woody, mm-hmm. and we were only with Bonnie for one movie. So I think what they're doing is they're trying to scrub out the old cast because now Tim Allen and Tom Hanks are too old to play these characters.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to usher in new toys. But who are the new toys? We don't know. Because if they're going to keep making Toy Story movies, they're going to do it with a different cast.
Gabby could have been the new main Toy
no
Story.
No way. That would be so bad.
That would have been awful.
So, and it was just a mess. I hated the story. I hated the premise. I hated the message that it gave.
I don't know. I liked Gabby's story arc.
No, and it was okay. But that's the problem, is everything was just okay. It wasn't sad. I didn't care. I didn't cry. I didn't feel anything for it. I felt a little bit. But that was because it pushed you to that point where I was just like, I want you to feel things! And I was like hitting you over the head with it.
I felt fear. That was about it when I saw those ventriloquist dolls.
There were a couple things that I liked about the movie. The little hints of like fun things that they sprinkled in. One, the combat Carls. They brought that combat Carl.
That was great.
Yeah, that was funny. Two, when you see Bo Peep again and like her sheeps are collecting things and there's the grape soda cap that they give him and she's like, no, ugh. And, grape soda caps from Up. And then when they go into the pinball machine where all those lost toys are partying, the Tin Man from Pixar's very first thing ever is the doorman.
And another one, bleh, I cannot speak today. And another one, they stopped at the gas station, the Dinoco gas station from Cars.
Well, no Dinoco's in every movie, in every...
I swear that was just from the Cars.
No, they go to the Dinoco gas station in Toy Story 1, when they're stopping at for Pizza Planet. So there's a Pizza Planet truck in every Pixar movie, and there's a Dinoco in every gas... Dinoco is every gas station.
My mind was just blown.
Everything is connected in one universe. That's what they're saying. So the timeline is that Cars is the last movie because it's the apocalypse.
So it had a lot of nice ideas. It had a lot of nice ideas in writing. It had a lot of funny moments, but that doesn't excuse the writing for being bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I say for all movies. Is like, just because something is... It was the same thing with Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because a movie is funny doesn't mean it's a good movie. It doesn't excuse the bad writing. And you can't make excuses for something just because it's a property that everybody loves, which is the Marvel and Star Wars argument. I love this property, so they can't do anything wrong. It's like, no, it's okay to say that things are not good. Like, the same way that like, Endgame is just okay.
You have to realize, though, Andrew, that there are some people out there who just like going to the movies for the sake of seeing something.
Yeah.
So they're okay with...
Then why the hell are you listening to this podcast when we listen, when we analyze media?
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
So I just read the whole synopsis of the movie, and I'm like, I kind of saw that was what they were going for.
Yeah, right? I think that
it was predictable.
And that's what I said, is like, is the beginning of the movie was, we're over the 5 minutes, so if people skip ahead now, then they're gonna have it be spoiled for them. So that's the review for Toy Story. Yeah. That's how I feel. Go see it for yourself if you like Toy Story and Pixar. I'm just saying, Pixar's failing.
I think that if you're... Hold on one second then. When you're saying Pixar's failing. They're failing at their sequels. They showed a trailer before for a brand new original Pixar.
Onward.
Which I've heard great things about.
I cannot wait.
It looks like crap.
What?
Wow.
No, so, because you have to remember that the last three Pixar movies, originals, were The Good Dinosaur, Brave, and... And Coco. And Coco only did okay. Like, it didn't do great.
Coco was great, though. I did watch that.
Coco was a good movie.
Yeah.
Good Dinosaur was shit. Brave was okay. It was... Billy Connolly made it tolerable.
Yeah, I really did. They chose the wrong story to tell about Brave. Like, it was the wrong story.
There were like, 1,000 branching paths. And it was like in Dungeons & Dragons, where, like, your party members are like, all right, you're in a bar. Here's a dwarf called, you know, Snagglepuss or whatever. Mm-hmm. And here's, like, a mighty warrior who has this black, you know, omen around him with a scroll in his hand that he's reaching out to take to you. I want to talk to Snagglepuss. Like, that was Brave. So anyways, Onward...
That actually sounds more...
Onward is more of, like, legit Dungeons and Dragons, but in real... But, like...
Yeah.
It's
modern war.
Yeah, it's what if the universe of Dungeons and Dragons was in the 21st century?
Yeah, like, modernized. Like, what happens when fantasy... fantasy worlds...
Get smartphones.
Yeah, and make their way.
So, it's basically a movie version of Outbreak Company.
That's true.
It was so funny when, like, the part in the trailer where the unicorns were eating out of the trash, like, raccoons.
Because it's funny because they're, like, mystical fantasy creatures that are, but because of human population coming in, they become stupider. Yeah. And which is, like, really fun. Like, that was, like, a really funny idea that unicorns are, like, the raccoons of... It was clever. Yeah. It was really clever.
Yeah.
But, of course, as you always do... they're like, look at the voice cast we have, and you're just like,
So they got Tom Holland,
selling a movie, selling a movie on the voice cast is already a red flag because it means your movie can't stand on its own without you knowing who voices these characters.
You see, I don't understand. I mean, they have the budget for it, but why can't they just go over to Bang Zoom and get a bunch of them to voice the characters?
Well, and that's just
there is so much talent over there,
and because you have movies like The Secret of Kells and all these like smaller animated features that have absolutely no voice talent in them,
except for Brendan Gleeson.
But again, who are you going to go to, like, a 14-year-old and be like, tell me about Brendan Gleeson? They're going to be like, what the hell are you talking about?
True.
And, you know, so they're like, look, Chris Pratt and Tom Holland are in this movie. I know Spider-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Like, it's just, that's what it is. And if you have to sell a movie based off of the voice cast, which is what all animated features do now, it's already kind
of... Do you know where that curse started?
Toy Story.
No. It was the genie in Aladdin.
Yes.
He was the first. Yes. So, short story. There's actually a
great YouTube video.
Yes,
there is.
Lindsay Ellis.
Yeah.
She did this video essay, which I recommend to everybody to watch, talking about how Robin Williams wanted no part in being a part of the advertising for Disney. It was in his contract that if he sells, if the genie ends up selling products, or if the genie ends up selling anything, that would be a breach of contract for him. All Robin Williams ever wanted to do was entertain people, and that's all. Yeah. He said that he could use his stuff for educational purposes for kids, but never for selling products, like when he ended up being the thing of McDonald's, you know, like the genie did.
Robin Williams would probably be rolling in his grave to see all those kinds of... And he wouldn't care. He would not care about Will Smith playing the genie. He wouldn't care about that.
Yeah, I don't think he would.
He wouldn't make it... I mean, minus the fact that the new Aladdin movie is just garbage. But it's a soulless version of the better version of the movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Because I've actually heard decent reviews about it.
I've heard, that's basically, the reviews I got was just, it's just a shell of, like, the better version of the movie. And like,
I mean, I heard they wrote Jasmine a little bit better, but other than that.
Yeah, they gave Jasmine, something to do.
And, but I mean, Iago doesn't even talk, he's just a bird, and, the monkey looks ugly, because it's just...
And
Jafar is just some guy, he's not, like... this motivated character and the
I mean, when I heard that they weren't bringing back Gilbert Gottfried as Iago, I knew that
Gilbert Gottfried's not going to get any work anymore after his whole social justice Twitter
rant,
excommunication.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the same thing. Like, I'm not going to go see The Lion King. Like, so... quote-unquote live-action Lion King.
The 100% animated live-action Lion King.
There's already...
As much as I love Donald Glover and Childish Gambino, I have no interest in seeing it.
I don't either.
I mean, no because interest. There's already a masterpiece of The Lion King. It's called The Lion King. Yeah.
Starring Matthew Broderick as Simba. Yeah. And Jonathan Taylor Thomas as young Simba.
Yeah.
And how do you... freaking replace Nathan Lane as Timon.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's not even about the cast.
I love Seth Rogen as Pumbaa. That's great casting there.
There is a little bit about the cast, but I'm not going to get
into it. It's not about the cast for me. It's about the animation. There is no heart in 3D animation whatsoever, especially when you try to just put realistic-looking animals into something that is a family film cartoon.
Yeah, they don't emote like 2D characters.
Exactly. Right. If you watch the original Lion King, it is still better than anything animated that has come out.
And also, one of the things that Disney invented, the silhouette. Scar's silhouette. In the original Lion King, you know that Scar. Yes. You can tell it's Scar. Now he just looks like some lion. Like, it's like, guys!
He's the same color as Mufasa and Simba.
He's not red. It's even.
With the black mane. And, like, sure, maybe he's a little thin and gaunt looking.
It's so stupid. Mm-hmm. I hate everything about this whole live-action Disney... Let's create everything.
With the exception of the cast, I do like... It's just like rinse and repeat.
I don't even care about the cast. I just don't care. Like, who cares? Like, it's just, if it's a good movie, it's gonna be a good movie regardless of who the cast is. Like, jeez, man.
And that was Into the West.
That was the longest Into the West ever, but it was good.
Business like a boss with a new mobile plan from Three. All the usual stuff you could get from a phone contract, like unlimited data, plus 6 months of exclusive benefits from our partners. Spend less time accounting and more time businessing with FreshBooks. Build a website designed to work perfectly on a mobile with Wix. Get a receptionist that's not your nan at WeWork. And nothing says I've got this like a business card from Moo. Get the mobile plan that actually helps your business. Because Three means business. Search 3.co.uk/business for further details.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favourite shows... And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hello, Ed Gamble here.
And James Acaster.
And we're here to tell you about our podcast,
Off Menu.
We talk to a special guest every week about their dream meal, James.
We ask them what the best ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink they've ever had is in order to create their dream meal.
We've had some great guests back in Series 1, including Sindhu V,
Jack McBrayer,
Victoria Corrin Mitchell,
and Tom Kerridge.
We've got some great guests coming up in Series 2. So why don't you join us in the dream restaurant? Also, James is a genie.
Pop it up, Zorbread!
That's the catchphrase.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the UK and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I guess we should start talking about new season of anime.
Yeah, because we do. Unless anybody has something really specific that they want to talk about in what we're watching.
Well, I did want to quickly say that I had noticed that Crunchyroll had posted. So you know about Osomatsu-san that came out like a couple years ago. They posted the original anime version of Osomatsu-kun that came out like in the 80s, and I've been watching that.
Oh wow! Oh, okay.
And what I found really interesting is that the majority of Osomatsu-kun isn't even about the sextuplets. Mm. It's all focused on Iyame and Chibita. And the sextuplets are more of like background fodder characters than anything else.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
But it's really funny.
Okay.
I would really recommend people check it out. It's one of those shows where you know it's for kids, but they got away with a lot that wouldn't be in a kid's show today.
For sure. For sure. Are we talking like ping pong club like levels of things that they wouldn't get away with, or what?
Well, there's a police officer who shoots first and asks questions later, and nice. Also likes to look up dirty pictures. He spends all of his time in the police office thing looking at porn.
Nice.
And this was a kid show.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah.
Wow. And what I found interesting, too, is that in this version of Osomatsu-kun, because they made a version back in the 60s, in this version, there are two characters, one of which is the police officer, and there's a second character that was in the creator's other series, Bakuban, the genius Bakuban.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found interesting is that just how much they really fit well into the Osomatsu realm. It's so the police officer is also in Bakuban, and there's this character, his only shtick is that he just sweeps everywhere he goes. He's like this bald, black-eyed, like, buck-toothed guy just going, red, where's everyone going? Red. And that red is his written name, and that's all he says. So he might be a Pokemon for all I know.
That's strange.
Well, this was back in the Showa era of comedy when this was created, so
yeah.
A lot of Showa era comedy is pretty strange. But I just found it fascinating that Osomatsu-kun was just, despite the title having it be on the main sextuplet, a lot of it is more on Iami and Chibita.
Mm-hmm.
So I just found it fascinating that despite it being titled that, the focus is on someone entirely different.
That, for sure. Yeah, that is really interesting. That's really, really...
Which now leads me to understand, so there's an episode of Osomatsu-san where Iami tries to kill himself, and he like bitches at Osomatsu for like 15 minutes about like how he used to be the main character, and now I realize why he was bitching so
that's
much.
Awful. Wow.
Awful, but it's done hilariously in the anime.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
That's great.
I do want to point out something that I've been watching for the past week, which is somewhat anime related in a way, but I did want to make a shout out to spending my entire week watching Summer Games Done Quick. For anybody who doesn't know the Games Done Quick people, they're a charity organization who they just invite speedrunners to play 7 days straight, 24 hours every day to raise money for charity, and they play video games speedrunning them all the way through, varying from like really old classic games to games strictly from Japan, playing them in Japanese because, as it turns out, writing text on a screen in an old SNES game is faster when it's Japanese than in English. Therefore, they always, to make the games faster for their speedruns, they play them in Japanese. But then, like, they finished off with Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger was the last game that they played, and the speed run for that is 6 hours. And they beat it in 5 hours and 24 minutes. Not a world record. They did, however, make a world record live on the stream playing Let's Go Eevee.
Which makes sense because that's a new game. It's only been out for a few months.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be making world records because the speedrun hasn't been perfected yet.
Yeah. But anyways, at the end of it all, so Chrono Trigger was the last one, 5 hours, 24 minutes. They were beating the last boss and they were $100,000 away from making their all-time goal of $3 million. And then, so what they did was instead they extended they left the money, like the donations open all the way until the final cutscene ended so that they could make the $3 million. And they did. They raised $100,000 in 10 minutes in the last final stretch. And it was awesome because for every thousands of dollars, the entire audience, they have like 1,000 people. They rent out a convention hall and 1,000 people stay for 7 days and just watch.
Mm-hmm.
And
it looks like a fun event to go to.
Yeah. And there were people counting down from the $1,000. So when they had, like $2,900, 100,
$1,000 later.
99!
90! They did it for all $100,000 all the way down to the end. And then there were people, like, after they said a number, there were people laughing, like, the count. Like, you could hear it. It's so much fun. It's one of, like, my new favorite things to watch.
Yeah, SG, I mean, I was introduced to Games Done Quick because of that goofy speedrun of Two Worlds, which is one of the funniest speedruns I've ever seen in my entire life.
You can beat Two Worlds in 2 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And then I started watching them, and I got really interested in speedrunning. I was like, oh, man.
So did I. I was
shocked. Why do I like this?
Is that Two Worlds speedrun the one where you showed me, and it was the guy was at the beginning of the game, he literally turns around and is like, oh, the final boss is right there.
Yeah.
Just get the townspeople to beat up on him.
Hey, go meet your contact. We're not going to do that. This is your contact right here. We're just going to run around him.
What a god. Oh, my god. So it's a lot of fun, really entertaining. I watched it for all 7 days. I did not stay up for 7 days straight, 24 hours.
Yeah, no, I watched the games that I wanted to watch.
But I was actually in school for a training for summer, and so I was, while the teacher was lecturing, I had my laptop up, and in the very bottom corner, while I was typing my notes, I was also watching Games Done Quick.
Nice.
So I got to watch them play Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts 3 in like 3 hours.
Well, one of my favorite runs that I watched was when they were running Command & Conquer Red Alert 3.
Yeah.
The best.
And they got the donation in for them to actually sit and watch the cutscenes.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they played it co-op. So they played co-op version of Red Alert 3, and they watched all the cutscenes, and they were playing as Russia, so we got tons of Tim Curry. And it was so funny. It's so great.
Yeah.
It was the best out of all the Red Alert series.
Yeah. That's one of the best things about Games Done Quick, is that they have these incentives for people to give them money. You know, so... The next one, Awesome Games Done Quick. There's two events a year. Awesome Games Done Quick, which is done in the first week of January, and then Summer Games Done Quick, which is done in the last week of June.
Mm-hmm.
So, Awesome Games Done Quick for 2020 is June 5th to 12th in Orlando, Florida.
No way!
Yep, so for those of you on the Nerdy Show Network, who, if you're local to Nerdy Show Network... Awesome Games Done Quick actually has an event.
Oh, I would totally go.
I would totally go too.
I would go too.
Yeah, I would go too.
That sounds wicked fun.
Wish I could. Anyways,
we could like broadcast from there.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight that because it was really special to me. I spent an entire week of my life doing that, so I figured I'd talk about it.
So let's talk about some terrible anime that's coming out.
Oh, come on, it's not gonna be, dude. Come on.
So I think what we should do is we should just start at the top of the list and scroll down and talk about. Not everything, because
there's no way we could talk about everything. I can already see a bunch of them.
Hang on.
Skip over.
Well, the ones that I'm planning on or I have checked on my list is 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, 5, 6.
I don't really want to hear you count.
Yeah. Wait. 7.
As he continues to count.
8. 9, and that's it. I had 9. I have 9 on the list that I'm going to watch.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
At the top of the list, we'll just start off with Danmachi 2.
Yeah! We haven't watched the movie yet, though.
I have.
Oh, have you? Is it good?
Yeah, it's very good. I will say there were a couple of slow parts in it, but for the most part, it actually evolves the characters pretty well.
Are we going to need to watch the movie in order to see
season 2? No, because the movie is standalone.
Good. Okay.
It has been written by the original light novel artist, or light novel, you know, writer.
Do they have a Naruto villain in it?
No.
Oh, really?
For reals.
Oh.
It's just a random-ass monster.
Naruto villain.
But no. But without a legit backstory.
Yeah, I gotcha. I see what you're saying. Yes. Okay. I understand.
They didn't try to shoehorn a Naruto villain?
It's...
With the random backstory? Naruto villain, right?
No backstory. I mean, there's a new goddess that shows up that has a backstory, but that's not the villain.
Nice.
Cool.
Cool. So Danmachi 2 looks great. Everybody knows what Danmachi is.
We talk about it all the time.
Yeah,
yeah, one of the best. We're gonna watch. Absolute favorites.
I'm gonna watch it because Tiona and Tione are in it. Same reason why I watched Sword of Torio.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know if I'm gonna end up watching this one. I liked my the first season, but Danmachi was like I was okay with it. You know. It was...
Well, you see on the cover of this artwork, there seems to be a dark skinned Amazon woman in the back. So she must be a main character, which means we're gonna see a lot of them.
And I'm She's ugly.
Yeah, she doesn't look as good as Tiona and Tione, but
probably the angle of the
specifically picture. Tiona.
I mean, look, he's like.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
So after that one on the list is the one that Evan's super excited for.
Can't you see my giant massive erection for Dr. Stone?
Yeah.
Greg's uncomfortable sitting across from you.
I'm gonna close my legs now.
Yeah. Sorry, that was a poking. Sorry if I poked you a couple times.
So Dr. Stone is looking pretty interesting. It's definitely being pushed a whole lot by a lot of different folks.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some advertisements.
Well, like, you know, I've been reviewing the manga on Bosch and Bash Brigade, and it's the only manga which every volume I've given 5 stars to because it's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're able to capture the same magic in the anime that the manga has, it's going to be one of the most talked about anime this summer.
Mm. Yeah. That's the probably one that I'm going to put most of my effort into seeing. And I think it's one of the first ones that's starting. It's starting in 4 days from this recording.
Yeah. So, well, I'm actually might be, hopefully fingers crossed, that I might be attending the premiere at Anime Expo.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. That would be sweet. That would be pretty awesome. The next one that I would want to highlight, I'm not going to go right on to the next one on the list. I'm going to skip down a couple.
Yeah, me too. Because that one, well, this one's an isekai, that which is the next one on the list. But wait, you're not going to talk about Vinland Saga?
I have no idea what Vinland
is. It's a Viking anime!
Yes!
Oh, really?
Yeah. A Canadian Viking anime.
It's crazy.
It's about Newfoundland.
But that's it. That's all I'm going to say about that one. That's a maybe on my list. Mm-hmm. So
I've heard good things about Vinland Saga.
But it is done about... it's Studio Wit doing it, so the Attack on Titan team is doing it, so...
Mm. Yes.
I gotcha. Well, we had some good stuff going on with the next one from David Productions. Is the Firefighter...
Fire Force. I disagree. It looks bad.
Shobotai.
It looks stupid.
Who's it made by? Is it made by the person who did Soul Eater?
Yes. Yeah. This is the Soul Eater team. I read the first thing of the manga.
It does.
It looks, was boring.
It looks ridiculous. But I don't know.
The reason why I might not watch it is because the main character is the same person who plays Asta in Black Clover. And that
as
might
make... He doesn't scream!
That's what I'm worried. That's what the voice is going to be. Because he looks like a screamer.
Well, I'm on fire! So I'll probably give this a shot. I'm not going to say I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to give it a shot because it's okay. Like, the first volume of the manga was boring. It didn't grab me. It was just like, oh, this is anime the anime. Oh, people are spontaneously combusting into monsters. I was like, monsters? Like, come on. And then the Fire Force goes out and puts them out because it's like, okay, well, we have to fight monsters because it's anime.
We gotta fight fire with fire.
Yeah, it's just... I was just like, guys, we gotta think up new premises.
I know. It's kind of funny because it's almost like this is... Like, you've never had firefighter superheroes before, but yeah. it's almost in the same way
what?
That...
I'm sorry. Did you forget about Rescue Heroes?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Isn't that a... Hentai?
That's I'm talking about the Fisher Price.
Because there is. Remember, we were talking about last episode. We were talking about that firefighter anime.
No,
remember,
no.
There's like that those muscly men like.
Oh yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that because that's not on the list here.
No, that's for the fall. I think.
Oh, is it the fall?
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be a hentai.
No, it's not hentai. It's a TV show.
I still can't get over the Fisher-Price to hentai connection.
I didn't even think of the Fisher-Price. I didn't know what he was talking about. I was just like, yeah, sure, that one.
The fire children toy company.
The muscular firefighters.
Anyways, the only thing that I think about for this one is, like, if we take a shonen sports anime, and you know how, like, everybody is like, I'm playing soccer, but I have a superpower when I play soccer. It's the same thing with firefighters. I'm a firefighter, and I fight fires, but I got a superpower when I fight fire. You know, fight fires.
I use fire to put out fires. How does that work?
It's because when the wind of the fire goes into the other wind of the fire, they cancel each other out.
No, makes me think of, did you remember in the show Jimmy Neutron, there was this episode where they're traveling in space, and then I think it's a Gene that goes, "Hey, Jimmy, how is it that we're breathing in space? Oh, yeah, no problem." Yeah, yeah. And then Jimmy's like, "Well, you see, the thing is," and it cuts to the other guy just randomly singing over him.
Yes, I do remember that, which is really great.
Clever. That's clever.
Next one on the list, Skip.
Yeah.
Because the one after that is...
Karakai Jozen no Takagi-san, yep. Season 2.
Takagi-san, Season 2.
I'm so happy about that.
Which is going to be pretty rad.
It should have just been the adult series. I think that
I'm hoping that they might actually fit that in. I don't know if this might be the second season might be the only season that they do, so they could have the final episode be with them be as adults.
Well, because the way that the last episode in the first season ended, it was cute, you know? She, like, she got the love letter and was like, it was nice to see that he got to her, but it wasn't through teasing her, it was through...
The heart.
Yeah, through the heart, and so, like, it was... So, I wonder how it's gonna go with season two. If it's going to be different than that in any way.
Well, I've watched they posted something on April Fool's Day, which was actually a good little teaser aspect. And there is still a lot of that element with Takagi-san overtaking Ishikata with her brand of teasing and humor. So we might see some of that, but I'm not going to be surprised if they tone it down a little bit for them to actually legit become a couple near the end.
Or not even become a couple, but even just kind of like make them a little bit more real. You know, it gives time for the relationship as a whole.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll watch that because it was so cute the first time. I still think that it should be a 15-minute show, but I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about the Isekai show?
No.
Isekai Chief Magician.
there's literally Isekai in the title.
Isekai
Chief. So mad.
Like, it's Isekai Chief Magician. Oh, so you're another Mary Sue character. I got that from Wise Man's Grandchild this past season. Thanks a lot. You're just doing the same fucking thing like last. All
right, so that was that one.
Yeah. Dumbbells.
Dumbbell!
Oh, so we're going to skip that one. Okay, good.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. The dumbbell. So
of course we're going to skip it. There's dumbbells on the next one.
Yeah, so Dogakobo is doing the dumbbell. I think we talked this one to death. Everybody knows we're going to watch this one.
Yes. And we watched a trailer for it, and it looks really good.
Oh,
and
dang, this one's in 2 days. This one comes out before Dr. Stone.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to watch this one first.
All right. It doesn't have a network, though.
No, it's on Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll got it.
Better.
What about the one after that, which is Mommy Sakai?
Yeah.
Well, since it's Aniplex of America, it will definitely be on Crunchyroll.
Good. So everybody watch Mommy Sakai, because that's probably going to be the big one that we bash on this season.
Yeah.
That
unless it turns into a Horse Girls situation where it's like, guess what? They made a great show.
It's not going to be. No, but
it's it's from the same director of Love Hina and We Never Learn, so it could be good.
Yes.
But the source material is what really matters, though. A director can direct something perfectly fine, but if the script sucks, you can shine a turd, but you get shiny turds.
Mm-hmm.
So
Mommy Sakai, we're going to watch it. Maybe.
Second season of Quintuplets.
Oh, wait, no. Is that what that is?
No.
Nope, never mind.
Oh, no. This one is... Would you love her even if she was a pervert?
What?
Oh, yeah, I heard a little bit about this one. It's like a guy looking for a girlfriend.
He finds a love letter from a girl who left her panties as well. So
in his locker.
But it was never marked, so he now has to find the girl in the magical panties. It's like Cinderella!
Oh, and of course...
21st century version.
Oh, and of course one of them is his sister. So
it better not be the sister.
Cool. Okay, that one's done.
All right, I want to highlight Kanata no Astra, which is a new anime from Lerche, who did Asobi Asobase, Radiant.
They wear skin tight suits.
One of the big reason, besides the anime company, that I want to watch it is, so you see the character with the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Hinakino, who's playing that, who did the voice of Hanako in Asobi Asobase.
Okay.
She's the reason why I'm going to watch this show and give it a shot, because I loved her performance in Asobi Asobase, just how much range it is.
Mm.
I'm hoping that she does the same with, like, maybe the cute girl and then the puppet just being, like, a Mr. Hat from South Park sort of situation.
All right,
I'll
put that one as a maybe. That one, it doesn't appeal to me because it's, like, a space adventure. And, I'm very hit or miss on space adventure animes.
I'm mostly miss. I don't know if I've ever...
Modern space adventure anime. It's not the 90s anymore. So we don't have, like, that dirty animation that we
got. Like Cowboy Bebop.
Or Outlaw Star. Like, Cowboy Bebop and Outlaw Star had that dirty animation that was hand-drawn and beautiful.
But you also have to remember that they weren't in space for the whole time either, too. Right. They actually went to planets, and then it kind of turned into, like, it reminds me in a way of, like, a Dick Wolf show, where, like, they become, like, investigators or something.
Also, this was about high school students, so it's like, meh.
Yeah, it's like, whatever.
Everything's about high school students. I
hate it. Speaking of which, the next one, I read about a little bit, like, what the club of introverts that's talking about things that you want to do before you die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how they got this to be a half hour long. The plot is so loose and just like
skip.
I just saw that one. The art looks good in a
the
way.
The art does look good. I will agree that.
Yeah. I think
Sentai Filmworks has this license too.
Okay. I think the reason why I was drawn to this one is because it has a very interesting key frame animation, like, or a key visual.
Yeah,
like it's like
key visuals are very important.
They are, and I think this one is the one that drew me in. But otherwise, it's so loose and flimsy. I don't know if it's gonna be any good at all.
I don't know what this next one is, but it looks not good.
Okay,
the one with the guy with like a llama mask right there.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
What?
Naka no Hito Genome? A pack-headed host gathers them after the initial stage. Explain how the game will proceed.
Oh, it's a game anime? F that.
After we were burnt by, what was that one? Juni Taisen?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of them. There's, like, kind of a lot. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know about that one. There's a horror one that doesn't look like horror. That doesn't look like horror. That looks like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Hey, they got a music one. When did we pass by the music one? Given?
Oh, Given.
Yeah.
Well, that's also Lorche. And by... Oh, I think this one might be the boys' love one, just FYI.
But
I've heard good things about it.
Okay. It says music! It doesn't say BL!
Yeah.
So, the next one that I actually have checked off... I don't. So, there's a comedy one on here. Joshikoshi no Muda Zukai.
Yeah.
I didn't mark this one, but I'll mark it as a maybe because of the key visual. But it seems like another something that would be a short anime.
Yeah.
I don't know. So key visual has me grabbed on that one. But that's about it. That's marked as a maybe. The next one that I've actually marked as, hey, I'm gonna watch that,
I just keep on scrolling.
is this TV short called Tsunandeska. And it's because of a plane crash starting today, we're spending the springtime of our lives on a deserted island. And what do you know, it's four characters that are all girls.
I think there's more than four characters.
Well, is it one of those first person views?
It might be. Are we gonna get a one room of a stuck on an island
anime? One island.
One island.
Better than might be better than Island.
I don't know. I watched Ireland to the end and I was like, oh, okay. I
get
it.
Like, well, that was a thing.
Like, yeah, I get it. That was a thing. That's nice. and then I don't have anything marked after that except for the movies. Which is interesting because there's a Ni No Kuni movie coming out.
Yep, Ni No Kuni. I did talk about that a couple of episodes back.
Of course, there's Konosuba. We've been talking Konosuba.
Oh my god, I can't wait for that.
The movie that I... Oh no, I'm sorry. There's not even a movie. The OVA that's coming out looks like a hot spring episode of the slime.
Slime Isekai.
Reincarnation. Yeah, slime.
Or it might be a swimsuit episode.
This is the one I really want to talk about. Is
the slime one?
No. Is the OVA for... There's two OVAs coming out for Maji Moji Rurumo.
Yeah.
So, those who don't know, Maji Moji Rurumo came out like, what,
2011.
Yeah, like way, way, way back in when Crunchyroll was first starting to be like a huge thing.
Yeah.
And Maji Moji Rurimo was one of those shows that really flew under the radar, but I loved it. I loved every second of it.
You see, I thought it was okay. There were some aspects of it that I kind of didn't like, but I can understand where you come from the aspect of
it. Well, the art was different. Like, it was, the art style was different. It was wasn't just anime over and over again. The voice acting was really good. The story was a little cheap because it was a harem. It was a harem, yeah. And it was okay. The main character was okay, but it was charming, and I liked it. So and
now he's directing One Punch Man season 2. This
after episode 13 of Rurimo ended, it just ended when we didn't get anything else. It was it was just over and.
This is like the era before anime like got second seasons.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, it was an anime that was like continuously going on, like Naruto or One Piece or anything like that. It was a rarity for an anime to get a second season, but I feel like Japan is now going, oh shit, this is actually popular in the Western world. More people are watching it there than over here. We should probably make more.
It's very possible, but Rurimo is such a niche thing, and Crunchyroll still has it.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to rewatch it at one time, but now that I see that Maji Moji Rurimo OVA has 2 episodes coming out, are we gonna even get it?
Well, Crunchyroll has actually been really good when it comes to OVAs these days. Have you seen, like, that they've been putting, like, bonus episodes of stuff up, and...
Yeah.
Like, for example, School Babysitters.
Yeah.
Like, they put the bonus episode of School Babysitters up. Even though we probably, like, maybe like 3 years ago, that would never have happened.
It's true.
So, it might take a while for us, but we may get this in some fashion.
Still haven't gotten the swimsuit episode of Food Wars back when the animation was still good.
Yeah. Oh, man. Poor Food Wars.
Yeah. It's coming on Toonami, though.
Are we getting another season?
Yep. Yeah. 4th season this fall.
That's right. We talked about that already.
Yeah. The one OVA that caught my eye was Kengan Ashura, done by Larks Entertainment. I never heard of them before.
I've heard of them, but I don't know if I've ever watched any of their anime.
Yeah, but it's just the key visual is just a bunch of rippling dudes.
It kind of looks like Baki the Grappler.
Kind of, but it's like Edo period gladiator arenas and like businessmen hiring gladiators just to kill each other. Then one of the guys is like, I don't want to kill the other gladiators. I just want to kill the business people who are hiring us. So it's kind of like a John Wick sort of thing.
And Mob Psycho 100's getting a bonus episode too, OVA, which has an official English translation, because I have a friend that works at Crunchyroll who actually did the translation for it, which means it's more than likely coming to America when it gets released.
Well, that's good. So I only watched like 2 episodes of Mob Psycho 100, and then I fell off of it, so I did not finish the second season.
I would recommend going back to it. It is a fantastic series. I think it might even be better than One Punch Man, especially with the second season.
Yeah. All right, I think that does it for me. I
think we're pretty on sync with each other on this one.
Yeah.
Where we're going to be watching a lot of the same shows, or attempting to, because I only watch like 1 or 2 shows a season now.
Well, now that we've done that, how about we go into the 10,000 Japanese fans pick their most anticipated TV anime in summer 2019 list.
Okay, sure.
So we talked a lot about this anime, so like, all right, so where should I start?
The lowest one.
So let's see. Number 20 is Are You Lost? I don't know what that is. Oh, Maidens in Your Savage Season is number 19. Maybe that might be the POV Island.
I don't think so.
Oh, Maidens in Your Savage Season is the one about the one with the holding the flag.
You're right. Yeah.
Number 18, Magical Senpai.
Don't even remember that one.
So 17, Astra Lost in Space. I believe that's the one I was talking about with Hinakino in the role there.
Yeah.
Number 16, Yami Shibai 7th Season. I've never watched it. In fact, it has 7 seasons. It must be good.
That's not necessarily true.
All right, here's what surprises me. Dr. Stone's at number 15.
Yeah, I would have expected
a little bit higher too.
Maybe they're expecting more from that from the Americans than from
Japan.
I wonder. That's really interesting to think about. We don't know this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
About who is what, bringing what fandom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. Number, tie for number 13, we have, let's see, something. Senki Zesho Symphony Gear 15. Yeah. I don't know what that is. And then what that is, Ari Fueta from Commonplace, The World's Strongest. I don't know what that one is. Number 12, okay, so the Hensuki, are you willing to fall in love with a pervert as long as she's a cutie? That's the one that we were talking about with the love letter in the panties.
Yep, interesting. Right.
Number 11, Fire Force. Number 10, Vinland Saga.
Interesting. So that's like right in the middle of the list.
Number 9, Wasteful Days of High School Girls. You were talking about the visual of that.
Yep.
Maybe catching your eye. Number 8, Do You Love Your Mom and Her Two-Hit Multi-Target Attacks?
8's pretty low on the list.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not number 1, but I'm joking.
All right, number 7, Isekai Cheat Magician.
Did number 7, did it get number 7 solely because it has Isekai in it? It's like, oh, it's an Isekai, I'm going to watch it. No, the mom anime is an Isekai too.
Number 6, I think this was the first one you passed over, and I didn't realize it was this show, which I've actually heard good things about. If it's for my daughter, I'd even defeat a demon lord.
Is that another Isekai?
Yeah.
Get the shit out of here.
All right, number 5, To the Abandoned Sacred Beasts. This is the new one from Wit Studio, I believe.
No, that was Vinland Saga.
That was Vinland Saga. So, To the Abandoned Sacred Beasts. No, this is the new MAPPA anime.
Okay. Oh.
And,
I probably won't be watching it.
I've heard good things. Like, the thing about this one is the person who directs it is more about doing, like, slice of life. And this is, like, a straight-up action show. So, it would be interesting to see how it goes. Vertical Comics releases the manga here in America.
Okay.
I've heard good things about it.
That girl is holding a single barrel shotgun.
Mm.
Is she the Doom Slayer? I'll watch if she's a Doom Slayer.
Number 4, The Case Files of Lord El Melio II, which is a spinoff of the Fate Saga, so of course it's...
I swear to God, number 1 better be dumbbells.
Number 3 is A Certain Scientific Accelerator.
Oh, so another railgun.
Yeah, that was one of the ones we skipped over
that, yeah.
Number 2 is Karakai Jozo no Takagi-san 2.
Okay.
Interesting.
And number 1 is Danmachi Season 2.
Of course. Okay.
And yeah, Dumbbell didn't even make
the list! Oh my gosh, I'm not surprised, I guess, but everybody's just like, Dogu Kobo! That's a cute show.
That is a very wicked anime show, though. Because we
do that.
Dumbbells!
We do that for the memes.
Dark-skinned girls with muscles, yeah!
Dogu Kobo, they do cute stuff! I know. We're very memeable.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is the... Yeah. Now I remember.
Is that the Demon Lord one?
Yes.
I did skip over that one.
Oh! That looks... young? My gosh. Like, jeez.
It's about a father who's protecting his daughter from...
From a demon lord?
From demon lords.
I'll add it, I guess. That might be interesting. Because I saw the key visual, and I was just like, that doesn't look like something I would like. And
yeah, then... because it had all the little kids in it. But if the main character is the dad,
that might be... It's literally called If It's For My Daughter.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Let's add that
coming one. Out on July 4th.
America.
Oh, that's why. Look, I can't even see the key visual.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know the title is so long.
Well, every isekai
our author makes a long title because it's bad and stupid.
Mm-hmm. All right. So should we wrap things up then?
Do we have any fan service?
Not that I know of.
All right.
I'm not aware of anything being on the Discord that we have fan service.
Let me see. I am pulling up. Okay.
There were a bunch of news stories that we had on the.
I kind of have a random question, but it's totally anime related.
Okay.
So while I was away at my conference last week, I was talking with another peer in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument somehow came up that is King of the Hill an anime? And I said, of course not. And he actually tried to make an argument that it was. Now, I want to hear from you guys to see, would you consider King of the Hill anime?
Well, I'd be more interested in hearing why he thinks it is, because it's not. It's
Korean anime.
Because it's animation, so that's how I like describe
no.
that.
So, no,
but I said the art styles were different.
Mm-hmm. So, anime is a term. And in Japan, it does just mean animation, like an animated TV show.
But yeah. In the Western world, it is more akin
yeah,
to
it classifies it as yeah, like anime is the term we use for animation that came from Japan.
So, no, it's not anime. In the same way that you don't really classify Avatar, The Last Airbender, as anime. Or the Boondocks as anime. Or
so you say anime like from Japan, but there are animes that have come out in America. So why couldn't like King of the Hill then be anime? That this is something like.
But that's what say. I mean. Anime that comes out in America, I don't consider to be anime.
Yeah,
animation.
No, but like the company American that companies that make anime like for anime.
Like you know, okay, you get so what I'm saying no. So for example, like. So Muppet Babies,
yes,
was animated by Toei Animation,
yes,
but we wouldn't classify it as anime because
it was written by Americans.
It was written by Americans.
The source of the creation is started in America. So
which by the way, that defunct TV episode of Muppet Babies was great.
I haven't watched it yet.
It was
really haven't good. Watched it yet.
I would say that this is all strictly opinion. Yeah. About how he believes, but I would totally say if we're going strictly based on King of the Hill, no, it's no way. King of the Hill is not an anime.
Because that's I mean, Judd Apatow, Mike Judge,
Mike Judge,
you know, was the creator of it. He wrote it. He created it. Sure, it was animated in Korea, where all things are animated now, but it wouldn't be classified as anime because the source material is from America.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and with that being said, I'd like to challenge all Wicked Anime fans to send us fan art of what King of the Hill would look like if it was Japanese anime. Go.
I can already Google this. I'm not kidding.
I know one of the first ones that's going to come up, if it's going to be Going Super Saiyan, like Hank Hill Going Super Saiyan. Whoa!
Gorilla Hill.
Yeah.
That's...
He means like that famous Simpsons painting where all the characters are anime like, characters. But
oh,
he wants
when they
like,
remade Akira with Bart Simpson?
No.
Did they do that?
Yeah, they did. Akira Simpsons. They've done, yeah.
See, that...
No, again, you know what I'm talking about, which picture I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
There's also Barkira. That's what it's called, Barkira.
Yeah. No, because Bart, it's still Bart Simpson. It's not an anime version of Bart Simpson. Like, we're talking about... Jeez.
Ned Flanders getting shot up.
I'd say, like, draw the art style of, like, with the eyes and everything. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah, stylize the characters of King of the Hill in anime versions.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. If you want to talk about something that's coming out in the new season of anime, well, you can get in touch with us in a whole bunch of different ways. First off, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can message us over there, comment on news articles, or, you know, just generally view everything that we got going on with Wicked Anime as far as scheduling and events and what have you. Hey, you can... Easily get in touch with us, like, anytime you want, more or less, on the Discord server. Now, the way you connect to the Discord server is you go to that Facebook page, and at the top of the Facebook page pin, there should be an invite. And you can click on that invite and just send us all the memes you want about whatever you want on the Discord server. Wicked Anime Discord, go, yay! You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime if you're not already listening to the podcast there, where you can listen to the podcast on other... things where you can find all your podcast listening shows at Google and Stitcher and Acast and Podchasers and where else? I don't know. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere you can find podcasts, Wiccan Anime will most likely be there. Maybe. You can also find us at youtube.com/WiccanAnimeReviews where there are videos and cool things that we like to post about the Wicked Anime life of conventions and videos and reviews and all that good garbage. And you can find us on social media at twitter.com and you can tweet us at @YoWickedAnime and we will tweet some stuff back maybe.
That's probably right. A gif or a meme.
Yeah. If you want to get a hold of me, you can find me at facebook.com/AFLMArt. That's AFLMArt. And where I am currently open for commissions, and I am currently working on my webcomic, Solarian Sun, which is about to launch in just a couple months, probably. So you can keep updates on that.
Couple months.
Well, month or two.
I would say. So that's why you got to keep your eye open. I'm going to announce it everywhere that we do Wicked Anime when once it's launched anyway. Mm-hmm. You can guarantee that. And you can also find me at Instagram.com at AFLM_art. Follow me there. Buy commissions. Support me. Yay! Evan?
All right. So, for a recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Twitch, and on the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And you can also follow me on Tumblr at B3Crew.tumblr.com. And don't forget about all the other sites under The Electric Sister, including, well, The Electric Sister, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashbook. And as some people may know, The Electric Sisterhood podcast has concluded, but a new show, Black Compat, will be premiering very, very soon. I will have been at Anime Expo, and I hope any of you listeners out there who find me will come up and say hi if it's not too crowded and we're not dying in between all the other people that are in the crowd. And when No Borders, No Race comes back, we're going to have a brand new theme song, as I mentioned in my last episode. And these guys listened to it. I think Greg said it really jarred him.
Wow.
Very true.
And I think that's it.
Okay, great. So, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. I hope that in the next episode, when we've watched some anime, I hope we've watched some anime by then, mm-hmm. We'll be happy to tell you what we hated so much. That's my favorite time of year. I get to do it 4 times a year. I get to hate so many things at the same time. And it's the best time. But it's a lot of work, too. So everybody else do their homework as well, and we can argue about some opinions.
And remember to celebrate July 4th responsibly, kids.
Well, July 4th will be over by the time.
It already happened.
Yeah, well, for next year.
That's right. Reflect on your mistakes, and...
And don't do it again.
Don't do it again.
Yes. For those who lost a couple of fingers and a couple of toes playing with fireworks, well, now you know your lessons.
Yep.
And now you've learned your lessons. I feel like I'm the Don Hertzfeldt cartoon right now.
That's not the only way I know how.
Game on!
So what we were discussing about this is, why the hell diamond? Why diamond?
Because they make you cool. Like, literally, not they don't make you cool in the person. They make you cool.
Cut out whatever we are saying now and just stick
no,
it in the...
Don't, no, you can keep this on because the music's playing, and then whenever it stops, just cut right into it.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried every single mattress in the store.
For those who are tuning in right now, we're talking about mattresses.
This is totally going in the beginning if I edit it.
Greg is very defensive about his mattresses now that he works for a mattress company.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just agree that, like, you need to listen to your body.
Yeah, so, okay, so fine. So, you weren't even working at a mattress place when I picked my mattress to begin with. So, no. What's the difference?
Now, for those of you who are wondering why this has to do with anime, I mean, you need a great mattress for your Dakimakura, whatever you want to fucking call
it. Well,
none of us have them, that's why we get it
your
wrong.
Your Wii pillow.
You also need the proper amount of energy to watch anime, so you have to get a great night's sleep.
I get a great night's sleep on my mattress.
Well, good for you. But there are plenty of people
it
out there who don't.
It was picked by a computer.
No, you can't.
It was picked by a computer. And it was $200 cheaper than any other mattress.
But you didn't you looked hard enough.
You didn't go to Mattress Firm.
Mattress Firm, we can actually... They have...
We're not sponsored by Mattress Firm. Greg just works for them. We probably shouldn't say that on the show.
Mattress Firm has actually told us that we can run it like our own business, so we are able to, like, give deals out and, you know, so I don't
you
know.
You can haggle?
Technically. This is behind the scenes, yes.
So, listeners, haggle. If you want to go to Mattress Firm, find Greg.
Find Greg and say, and use code I listen to Wicked Anime and get
a free mattress.
A good deal on a mattress from Greg.
For 2 chickens and a goat.
Yeah.
No, that's for a wife.
And that's bartering, not haggling.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You technically can haggle to a point if you're really persistent. I suppose you could probably get it for the at cost price. But
do you have diamond encrusted mattresses? I know that they do that now, like diamond threads.
Oh, so I don't know. I'm still in training, so I don't know everything about the products. But there is one mattress from Beautyrest that I think it's on the higher end, that there are little micro diamond pieces in the foam for one of the memory foam beds.
Okay, who the hell would want this?
Yeah,
who
for
hell,
some reason.
Like, no one's going to see the fucking diamonds. What's the point?
Actually, you can see the diamonds because we have a display cutout of that that mattress.
No, I mean, when you put the sheets on the mattress, you're not going to see the fucking diamonds.
Well, you wouldn't see it anyway because it's the foam in the mattress.
So why would you fucking buy it with diamonds in it when no one's going
to
see it?
You'd have to go down and talk to an assistant manager who's training me, and they could actually tell you why. It's part of, like, the cooling technology in the mattress.
But you've told me about other mattresses with cooling technologies that are going to be probably 5 times cheaper than the ones with diamonds in
and
it.
And we offer them, sure. We fit to everyone's
so
budget.
So what's the point of having diamonds in a fucking mattress?
I want
talk to my manager.
Let me get the manager.
I'm still training.
You can get some pretty good deals for a pound, like a scratch card, and you could win a fortune. But you probably won't. You'll just end up with a colourful piece of card and silver scratchings all over your floor. For a better deal, head to Costa Coffee and get some delicious toast for just £1 when you buy any Medio or Massimo hot drink or expertly handcrafted flat white before 11 a.m. The Coffee Plus menu from Costa Coffee. Visit costa.co.uk for full terms and participating stores.